Thank you very much, Preacher. I guess the best way to explain what you people have done to me today, I'll tell you an illustration. A man had been real good to his wife, bought her a new dress for Valentine, had a meal catered in. All the kids had written something on the Valentines for her. And that evening, she looked at her husband and she said, "You make me feel loved." And you people have just gone the extra mile. Pastor, thank you for all your recognition. I don't look for opportunities to be bragged on or complimented on, but it don't hurt my feelings. I've often begged God do something so big through my life that when you do it, that people will look and say, "God did that." Yes. God gets all the credit. Yes. And so I'm again, thank you. I'm interested in taking all them cards. I worked on, read some of them this evening, most of them. I got some more. And going home and sharing with to my wife. And I say, I bet Obama didn't get this many cards today. And so you're not married to the president. You're married to a man that the people really honored him. And so we serve a wonderful God, don't we? Great God. I don't know why my Bible's on here. It's not the scripture. But I'm going to tell you a nugget that I got out of this advantage of being surrendered. Asking God to do something through you. This is what God does when you put him number one. See, God won't be number two. He's either number one or nothing. And he says we love father, mother, children, wives more than we love God. We're not fit to be called his disciples. So therefore, God, our first love is to him. That's why every morning we ought to rise early. And first thoughts in the morning should be of our Heavenly Father. And if we do that, here's what happens. For God speaketh once, yea, twice. Yet man perceiveth, understands it not. In a dream. Now here's how God can talk to a man. So in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep fall upon men and slumbering upon the bed, then he opened the ears of men and sealed their instructions. A man who surrender, a person who surrender, God will tell you during get put the orders and he had what he wants done during the night. Isn't that wonderful? Said he keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He has chastened also with the pain upon his bed. Okay, sometimes a lot of the sickness that is not all, but some of it is contributed to the fact that our relationship with God's wrong. And said, so that his life abhorreth bread and his soul dainty meat. And so I want to prepare a message on that. And that's Job 33 and Job 36. Job 36 says this, that's 33. He opened also the ears to the discipline and commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? And their years and pleasure. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without the knowledge. Open your Bibles to 1 Kings tonight, please. 1 Kings. I guess since we had school tonight and to talk about school kids, I guess I ought to tell a little story that illustrates the last day of school. And the last day of school is coming up pretty soon. Amen. Down in Kentucky, we had a tradition that we brought the teacher a present. Now, students, don't forget this. Amen. And so it's the last day of school back in Kentucky, and a little boy got up, had a nice box wrapped nice, big ribbon tied on it. And his dad owned a bakery. And so he walked up and set the box on the teacher's desk, and she opened it, and a chocolate cake. She swiped her finger. "Oh, Johnny, that's delicious. I'll really enjoy that. Thank you very much." He went back to sleep, back to his seat, real thrill, sleep. And so then the next little boy got up. His dad owned a candy store. And so he set a box on the teacher's desk, and the teacher opened it, took the ribbon, opened it. Oh, chocolate candy. Thank you, Frankie. Thank you very much. I'll enjoy this. He went back to seat. The next little boy got up. His dad owned a whiskey store. And the teacher was scared to death to open it. He said, what am I going to do? He walked up and said on the side, and she just looked at it on her desk. And he said, open it, teacher. Open it. Open it. And she saw something liquid coming out. And she went, Junior, what's in that box? He said, a little puppy. A little puppy. I don't know. I got three or four more here. I better save them the next year, I guess. I'll just put them up and talk next year. What would you say? I got a question for you now. What would you say to your wife if you only had a few minutes to live and she's come in and seen you, the doctor told you that you was on your deathbed? And so what would you say? Dr. Jack Howes just won a man to Christ in a hospital in Chicago. And now, according to the Bible, if you die right now, where are you going to go? He said, to Kentucky. And that's where he's going to be buried. But communication mixed up a little bit. But what would be your last words? What would be your last words to your wife or wife, to the husband? Or what would you say to your children? We have such a thing as that tonight. What would you say? Someone said that a man died, and the pastor, you know, you always go and talk to the kin and to the nearest, and so you know what to say at the funeral. Try to gather all the information about his death again. So he asked this boy, he said, what was your dad's last words? Said he didn't have any. Mom was with him. And so, I've got you men laughing, but those women, the snakes coming out of their eyes. And so, tonight we're going to read about a man. I want to show you, but read a man, what he said to his son. He was dying. And so, by the way, I'm speaking tonight on the subject. Listen to this. Why settle for less than God's best? Why settle for less than God's best? As I said, this one was adopted into his family. We bear his name, Christian. And so why settle for less than God's best? But here a man was dying, and in chapter 2, 1 Kings chapter 2, the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, go the way of all the earth, be thou strong, and show thyself a man. Actually, what he was saying here, you keep your fingers out of your mama's jewelry box and get them in my toolbox. I want a man for a son. And so, verse 3, and he charged, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk on all his ways, to keep his statutes. Now he's talking to his sons here. He's telling his son, now if you're going to live a happy and successful life and a prosperous life, here's what you're going to have to do. And you keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest what? He said, now, son, I want the best for you. I want to tell you right now, if you're going to prosper in this, you're going to have a happy life, a good job, a good paying job, provide for your family, make your car pay, house payment. He said, now, look, I'm going to tell you how to do it, and you better keep the statutes and commandments of God, and all that thou doest well that thou may turn us. Verse 4, that the Lord may continue his words which he spake concerning me, saying, if. The biggest little word in the Bible, if, with all of God's promises comes ifs, except salvation. It's free. If we all got sworn into the armed services of the United States today, Army and Marines, Navy, whatever it may be, we got sworn in, then we would be an employee or we'd be a servant of a government, right? Okay, we could say, yes, I'm the government, I'm an employee. But let me tell you, any recognition that you get in the Army, Marines, and I know the Old Testament, you start out with a private. If you want private first class and then corporate, sorry, you have to earn that. That's not put on there free. And so we can be Christians. Here's what I said. Now, if you're going to, because that if, verse 4, I'll read again, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way and walk before me in truth with heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee a man on the throne of Israel. Now we'll skip over to verse 10. Though so David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And so then I want to go to chapter 3 now. And Solomon now, his son, has become king. And here's what Solomon said. Now he said, David, when David was talking this, I think he said to Solomon, his son, now son, he's talking to his son, I don't want you to accept less than God's best. And in order to do that, you're going to have to obey his word. You're going to have to study his word. You're going to have to live for him. That's what he's saying here. So Solomon realized that and realized what God had done through David. And here's what he did then, Solomon, what the son did in chapter 3, verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father, only he sacrificed burnt incense in high places. And the king, Solomon, went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place, 1,000 burnt offerings that Solomon offered upon the altar. And so, in Gibeon, in verse 5 then, in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and saying, ask what I shall give thee. I'd like to know what our answer would be if God would wake us up tonight and say, what do you want that you don't have? What would you like to have that you don't have? What would we say? And Solomon said, now here's what he said. So God asked Solomon a question. Now Solomon's going to answer it. Verse 5, 6. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, in uprighteousness heart, and with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness. Thou hast given him a son to sit in his throne as it is this day. In other words, Solomon is saying like this, now, dear God, I know how you use my daddy, and I watched him, and I watched him in battles and that, and I read about him, heard about him, and all the stories, and how he killed Goliath. And he said, I've heard all. And now he said, he's gone, and you've left me in his place. And said, and the throne it was, he reminded God what he had done for David. And in verse 7, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king, and said, my father and I am but a little child. He's in his 20s here. Theologian tells us, commentary. I know not how to come in, I know not how to go out or come in. And the servant is in which thou hast chosen a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted nor measured. Now here's what Solomon asked for. God asked him, now what do you want? Now Solomon's still talking. He said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy people, so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither asked just for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. In other words, Solomon, since you have considered me, and you want to serve me, and you want me to use you the way I used your daddy, and so now God is answering him here, and so here's the question, as the conversation goes on in verse 12, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall rise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, riches. May I tell you, the money that God let me make, I didn't plan that. I planned to serve God. By serving God and putting God first in my life, trying to do the best. Now, I made mistakes too, like you, and there have been times I know that I have not done exactly, but I measure the times I put God right. And so the riches that he has bestowed upon me comes from my heart wanting to serve him. See, I challenge you to go home tonight and tell God, write God a letter and tell him what you want. And then when you tell him what you want, then you tell him what you'll do with what he gives you. And start praying. Set goals. I set goals in my life. I've got a letter in this, a copy in this Bible. It's over 40 years old. Over 50. I said, thou wrote approximately 50 years old. I wrote God a letter and told him, I said, if you'll bless me, if you bless this little business I got, three or four men going, if you bless that, and I went to my pastor, and I said, I want you to pray for me, and tell God, I promise him, if he'll bless me, I'll build churches, I'll support missionaries, I'll build schools ready. So I told God, and God did what I asked him to do. He let me make the money, then I did what God I promised. I kept my vow. So I still got the letter. I still got tapes of instructions to me in case God did bless me. Boy, I wish I could tell you. I so appreciate. What do I get for paying this? I don't have to be here as a pastor to say that. My eyes is glued on me and you're soaking it in. Now that's my, and I want to help you. I'm going to tell you how you can get things out of God. I'm going to tell you how Ruth, boy, I'm way off the subject here. I'll come back to it, man, King. You know when, now here I go. Let me think. Oh, back in Samuel, 1 Samuel, when Elkanah, what was his wife's name? Huh? Hannah. When Hannah wanted, let me teach you something. When Hannah wanted a baby, how to get things out of God, she went to God and told him, see, his other wife, her husband's other wife, Elkanah, other wife, she was having children, and she was rubbing it in and kidding her. You're not a woman. You can't bring four kids for my master or your husband. You're not a, and she was kidding. And so she went to the altar and prayed, and Eli saw her lips moving and heard a sound, and lips moving, no sound, something. And he said, you're drunk. She said, no, I'm praying. I'm asking God for a child. I'm not drunk. And said, so she told God, here's what her prayer was to God. God, if you give me a child for you, I'll turn him over to you before birth. He'd be yours. She got what she wanted, and God gave her a baby. And then, okay, now it was up to her to perform her promise. See, a lot of times you don't want, we'll ask God for some great financial or some benefit, and then we get it, and we forget to thank God. We don't fulfill our vow. That's why it's important to have a diary. You young people, have a diary or a book. Get you a book like this here. Cost you, I don't know, anywhere from a dollar. You get them on sale for 99 cents, and then after Christmas, they go up $3.50. I buy mine during Christmas. And you record promises in there and have it a diary. You record what you've prayed for God, and then you tell God what you'll do. And so then she took the baby up, as she promised God. She fulfilled her vow. So she got out of God what she wanted. Then God got what she promised. Then God gave her five other children. That's how we get things from God. Going back, why should we settle for less than God's best? And so, now back to this here, in verse 14, if thou will walk in my ways, keep my statutes, my covenant, as thy father David did walk, then I'll lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Now listen, I can't hardly understand. I believe everything's in the Bible. Can you imagine? God had just made all these promises to Solomon, and then he has a problem. Most unusual problem. A lot of problems we have in our life are silver lining if we just find the silver on. A lot of our problems. And so two women came, both of them were harlots. They both had babies out of wedlock. They both sleeping in the same bed with the babies. Say this woman on the left here on this side, she woke up in the night only to find that she had lain on her baby and it was dead. So she got her baby, went over here and laid it beside this the woman over here, the harlot, and got her baby, and she brought the live baby back over here. But when this woman here, when she woke up the next morning, she said, this is not my baby. She said, it is yours. Don't you try to take my baby. They got an argument. Then they went to Solomon after solving. Now, how in the world would you solve that? And said, and so I told you the story. And so it's the next few verses. I already told you. I won't read them to you because of time. Solomon said, I'll tell you how we can find out. Just lay that. I'll tell you the best thing. Just lay that baby down right here, and I'll take a sword. I have a sword right, and we cut it half in two. I'll give it half to you and half to you. Not that way to settle it. And the mother who was lying, the woman who was lying, said that's exactly what to do. But the real mother, Now, you would rather somebody have your child than you see it cut, even though you know it's yours, you see. You won't see your child cut in two. And so she said, no, don't do that. Solomon said, give it to her. And Solomon said, you're the mother.
Yep.
She lied. Now, because of that, see, he had a problem to solve. Pastor, a lot of times you got problems. You got to ask what God is doing into this. And so, then it says, when this got scattered around, what got known? And everybody all over Israel knew it, heard about them. Look at verse 28 of chapter 3. And here comes a silver lining. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. See, when a man's walking with God, God's going to honor him some way or another. And so they were afraid. Now, I can turn it over. Look at chapter 4, verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than a lot of men, and I don't mention. Look at verse 34. And there came all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and all the kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. It spread throughout the world, this wisdom that God had promised. God fulfilled his promise. Our Father, we pray your blessings now upon the next few minutes. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray as we leave here tonight, we'll leave with this thought. God, help me not to settle for less than your best on my life, my family, my children, my wife. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to go back to chapter 3 here when Solomon prayed. And God and what God promised him, I told you, he said, I've done according to thy words, I've given thee a wise and understanding heart. Now, therefore, he says, but he asked for it. Now, a lot of times we don't have it because we don't ask God. We don't bargain with God. We don't tell God what he's going to get out of it. Suppose you walked in my office and said, Mr. Ernest, I'm out of work. And I understand you're hiring. I'd like to have a job. And I said, why do you want a job? You said, I want a paycheck every week. Yeah. Do you think I'm able to give you a paycheck every week? Yeah, I've heard about you. I know that you're wealthy. I know that you can. I wouldn't have no problem working with you. You have enough faith to work. Yeah. Well, I want to ask you a question. What am I going to get out of it? I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to see you get a check every week, every Friday. But let me tell you this now, before that you get your check, when I sign that check, I'm going to know what you did for me. You're going to count to me. And if you don't produce, I'll do to you similar what I did to a chicken on the farm. When a chicken quit laying, we had chicken and dumplings.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And so, therefore, here's what I would want you to say. Here's how you get a job. And I'd be sitting there, and I said, Mr. Anderson, I'll promise you one thing. If you give me a job, I'll bet you the best employee you got. I challenge you to give me a chance. I'll be there every morning. I'll not be late. I'll be at least 10 minutes early on the job. I promise you I won't quit at 11:45 and go to lunch and come back at 12:30 and call it 30 minutes. I promise you that I'll be on the job until 12 o'clock, and I'll be ready to work at 12:30 if you give them 30 minutes. And I'm too smart to let you go to the restaurant and eat, and I expect you to get back in 30 minutes and let you charge. You don't do that in 30 minutes. You take 1 hour if you're going to do that. Now, if I was working for you, I'd brown bag it. I'd eat my two sandwiches and piece of cake, and I'd rest for 15 minutes. And so, but here's what I want you to say is that. Then I want you to say, I'll tell you this right now. I said, I won't quit for 10 minutes before 5, either where you're around or not. See, I've caught men off the job 15 minutes early and leaving, and I fired them before they got to the car, to the home. I said, I'm paying you, buddy, and you're stealing from me, and I can't trust you now. You're done. Come off and get your check. And so I want you to tell me, say, not only that, I won't call in sick on a ball day, on some day they're having a ball game, and then I go to ball, act like I'm sick and go to a ball game.
Right.
I will tell you this, if you get a lot of work in, you have to have me to work Saturday. I'll work Saturday if you pay time. I'll work Saturday. I'll make you a good employee. And so you heard about the employee that went to see his boss one morning and said, My grandma had died, and I want to go to the funeral home today to see if I can have the day off. I said yes. About an hour later, grandma showed up to visit her grandson. The next day, the boss said to the man, "Did you believe in resurrection?" "Your grandma came to see me yesterday." You know, I've heard tell of men saying they're sick, can't work, and they go to a baseball game, and on television, that boss that night, he's watching television, and there said he's a sick employee on the road. See, that's what I want to, I don't know what you say to me. I said, "All right, you just said the right thing. You're hired. Now, you wanted a job, you got what you wanted. Now, if I'm going to get what I want from you, we got a good agreement going. And that's how I watch you. And if you fulfill your requirements, I'll make you foreman. I'll make you superintendent." That's how God works, right? Now, we have to ask ourselves this question. Solomon, see, when his daddy was talking to him, he said, "Now, I don't want you to settle for less than God's best." Well, in order to have God's best, he realized he had to go to God. Now, look at verse 9, 1 Kings chapter 3. And so, what time? You want me to quit at 11:30 or 12:30? Now, you had a lot of introductions. Now, look here. David said, "All right." Solomon said, "All right. Now, if I'm going to make Daddy proud of me, I won't have to go to God that he went to and get God's blessings, right?" Now, look what he did in verse 9. "Give therefore thy servant understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" You're looking at a man here, uneducated coal miner, never been to college day in his life, never had any business training. And what do you think I thought about when I was got in the drywall business and they gave me a set of blueprints? Have you ever seen a set of blueprints to a big commercial building, a lot of apartments? And they gave me that with specifications. I didn't know what it was. I had never had built a toilet, never had laid out a toilet. But I know somebody does know. Amen. You know what I did? I pulled a, you don't know how many times, let me let you on a secret. You don't know how many times, Pastor, 5 o'clock in the morning, I've been up studying the Bible, and I put my hand on this verse. God, you gave Solomon wisdom. God, you gave Solomon wisdom. God, I need wisdom. You know, God, if I make this money, you know what I'm going to do with it. You know what I've been doing with it. I went from 10% to 50% in 11 years. Haven't given under 50% since 1970, 50% or more. And so I said, "God, you know, God, please give me understanding. God, please give me wisdom. God, please give me wisdom." I begged God, I don't know how many times, how many days, how many mornings I've been up with laying my hand, have problems. I said, "God, I've got him claimed that verse, got it in my backyard, it's fenced, and be walking around there 4 daylight, looking up God, begging him to give me men. So, God, I need men. Everybody's working. Builders got a lot of pressure on me. They need men." And I've seen the time, 12, 1 o'clock, my wife called me and said, "There's 3 men from Mississippi called wanting a job, taping." I said, "What do you want me to tell them?" I said, "Tell them, come on, ask them if they need any money to get up here on." That's the way God works. See, but I asked him. I told God what he'd get at it. Now, let me ask you this. Solomon said, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart, that I may discern between good and bad." Now, can you show me in the Bible where God loves Solomon more than he loves you and I? Give me a verse now. Come on now, give me a verse. Show me a verse where God says, "I love Solomon more than I love anybody, any of my other children." All right. Then Solomon went to God. Would Solomon have gotten this wisdom and knowledge if he had not have asked for it? Huh? Okay. Would I have gotten the understanding to build those businesses if I hadn't went to them? Don't you and I have the same right to go to God as Solomon did?
Yes.
Now, I just put my finger on why some of you's not the superintendent where you're at today. I just put my finger on why you're not the foreman today. Where you're at. God's waiting for you to make him some kind of promises. God's waiting for you to say, "We want to build a new church there. We got the school, and we got a good pastor here, and people, and a good church here." God, if you let me give me an increase on my, let me earn more money, I'll give a certain percentage for that new school or to the church. Does that make sense? Huh? See, you may ask God for more money. Now, what are you going to do with it? And if you don't do that, you know, you go out and buy a new fishing boat. And then God will sink it if you do it with God's money. God will sink it for you. Now, I'm telling you this here, that I just believe, and I know it is, and I can back it up Scripture, you and I have the same right to go to God as Solomon did.
Yes.
We're his children.
Yes.
Does your children have a right to come to you and say, Mommy, I'm hungry. Daddy, I'm hungry.
Yep.
Mommy, I need a pair of shoes. Daddy, I need a pair of shoes.
Yep.
Huh? Do they have a right to say that? Yeah. They're our children. Do you and I have a right to go to God?
Yep.
When's the last time you've been to him? What's the first thing you do in the morning? You get up, and his wife has to tell you 100 times, call you. You better get up, you're going to be at work. You're going to be late, going to be late. Boy, here you come with your shirt tail hanging out and grabbing, give me a cup of coffee. And you run to the car. You don't ask God to bless and guide and let you make you smart on the job that day. You don't say, dear God, I want to spend at least another 30 minutes with you. 15 minutes with you or for an hour with you before I do anything else. Before I have coffee, I'm going to get up for my wife. Let her get ready. And I'm going to try to beg. And I'm going to try to get your mind and my mind here. I'm going to call. I'm going to ask you what Solomon did. And God, I promise you this. If you'll then give me what problems arises on the job, and you can, God, let me tell you something. God can have some problems at work that nobody can't solve them, including the foreman, the superintendent, and the owner. But God can give you wisdom to solve it. And no, listen, you solve a problem with me, and you're going to get me, and I get thinking, man, that guy solved a problem. He works every day. I better make him foreman.
Yeah.
I called you in. I said, I'm going to give you $20,000 a year raise. You on that night? Tell your wife, honey, guess what? Mr. Anderson gave me a $20,000 raise today. She said, is that right? I said, yeah. She said, don't you think his living room furniture is looking old? Shouldn't we replace? You said, no, my boat needs to replace.
Yeah.
But that's the way it works now. You see, you go to God. We have the same right to go to God and ask for wisdom on anything, and we're going to tell him what we will do if he'll give us wisdom. Would you like me to give you a good Bible example of how this happened? Who was Daniel until the king had the dream? In Daniel chapter 2. Then he called all the wise men together, and all the men that had on his payroll, and all them smart men, all the college graduates and that. He said, I dreamed a dream, and I want you to tell me the dream. Was it? I said, what was it? He said, I forgot. You want us to tell you what you dreamed, and then nobody can do that. And he said, you're just stalling me. He said, I'll cut your head. I'm going to kill every one of you. Every one of you wise men. I'll kill all of you if you don't find the answer to that. And started round them up to kill them, and they came to Daniel. And I'm telling you, I can turn to Daniel chapter 2 and tell you. I can tell you what Daniel said. And they said, the king's man came, going to gather the wise men. Daniel, you and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you all are going to die. What's the hurry, Daniel said. The king dreamed a dream and nobody can tell it to him. He said, you go back and tell that dream to that king. Take me to, give me 3 or 4 days. I go to my God. I'll find the answer. And so he went to God and says in chapter 2, and at nighttime when most people were sleeping, he was up praying. The vision was revealed to him in a nighttime, and he went and told the king, and said, the king said, oh, he said, you've got the answer to my dream. He said, what was it? He said, well, first of all, let me tell you, there's not a man alive, can interpret. None of your wise men can interpret that. No, you just killed him. No man can do that. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. May I tell you that there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets, and he wants to reveal secrets to you and I and how to get jobs done, how to save the company money, but we won't rise early and ask him, God, give me understanding. Why settle for less than God's best? That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Why settle for less than God? And Solomon hadn't got that wisdom, had he? Would you have gotten saved if you hadn't asked for it? How'd you get saved? Did you ask God to do it? How'd you get married? Did you ask her to marry you?
Yep.
Or she asked you? You get it because she asked for it. What have you asked out of God, tell you? Then what have you done for God that he should answer you? What have you done? I had 7 businessmen. I was out knocking on doors 2 nights a week. Starting Metro Baptist Church. You know Pastor John. That I bought the church and everything. Bought him a place to live. Had a house. He fell in a toilet down in Indiana and came to Belleville with a new suit on, tuxedo. I already had my church. I bought a church, and we got it started. I guess there have been 25,000, 30,000 people baptized in that church these 30 years. Because I was praying and asking God, God, what can I do with my life to count the most for you? And I started advertising to pay. I bought it. But again, see, we've got to make God some promises. We got to tell him what we'll do after he acts. Now, I've just proven to you how that Daniel, by the way, I didn't finish about Daniel, and when the king, when he revealed the secret to the king, he made him second in command. He made him over all these rulers and governors. He made him at, he said, Daniel said, by the way, I got three buddies, I got three friends. Can I put them, give them a foreman's job too? God said, go to it. I mean, that the king said, go to it. I'm telling you that we serve a God. Why should we accept less than God's best? May I tell you something another that this year is March. I was flying from Honolulu to Minneapolis, Minneapolis to Detroit, Detroit to New Hampshire. I was flying there, and that is about 6,000 miles. It's over 11,000 miles round trip. It's something like 13 hours each way, 26 hours, okay? And so I looked at my ticket. I had a coach ticket, and I thought, boy, all that, and I'm flying all night. And that coach ticket, you get set like this. Not even much room. And I've got a million miles. I got a card here. I got a lot of miles banked on Delta Airlines. And I called a friend, and she found out there's some first-class seats here for it hadn't been sold. So to go from a Y ticket to a K ticket, that's where you can upgrade, I called Delta. I said, how long, how much it cost me? It said $750 round trip. And I thought, well, I said, I think I'll take it. Of course, it's first class, and they feed you. You got a lot of room. And so I said, I think I get it. And so she checked. She said, Mr. Anderson, I don't have any first class from Honolulu to Minneapolis. I said, well, that's during the nighttime. That's 9 o'clock. That's about 9 hours, 8.5, 9 hours. And I said, that's when I sleep. I don't need it in the daylight coming back. And so, are you sure? She said, no, there's not any. I said, I've been told what. She said, I'm telling you that my computer says that I can't sell any. Because they save them for the last minute, hoping some sucker come in and pay the $3,500 that ticket. All right. And so, I said, all right. I walked around there, and I got thinking about Daniel. I said, God, Daniel prayed, and you answered his prayer. Dear God, that's an awful long trip tonight, and you know I'm going to speak for you. I don't get anything out of it. I don't charge. I'm paying. Now, God, based on what Daniel got out of you, he prayed, and by faith he believed, and I said, now, I'm going to ask you right now. I'm going to get on that plane tonight. I'm going to ride first class. I'm going to thank you for it right now.
Amen.
I intend to ride first class on that pirate plane. And then I also had a plan B. I was going to stop at Costco, and they got those wraps, about 4 or 5 layer of meat. They got a wrap. It's about this. It cost $4 over at Honolulu. I get me two of that, and I've been coached. Then I'll have something to eat, because in coach, they don't feed you. But in first class, they do. And I said, stop and get that. And the Holy Spirit said, now, wait a minute, Russ. That's not faith. You heard about the 1,000 people that showed up to pray for rain on a farm one evening, and only one little girl brought an umbrella.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit reminded me of that. I said, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm not even going to take a cracker. I want to depend completely upon you. Get me on that airplane. And so when I got to the airport, the plane was about loaded, and so I was waiting to see. They wait the last time if they're going to upgrade anybody to first class. And the plane was almost full, and my faith began to fail. And I heard the man say, I've got one seat here, and such and such a name. You want two, don't you? He said, yeah, I don't have two. And I saw a woman motion to me, come over here. I said, you have 28J, don't you? He said, yeah, let me swap this seat to you, first class, 5J's or 28J. I said, praise God. My feet become Pentecostal. I wanted to shout, but ashamed to. I said, I'm not going to accept less than God's best.
Amen.
I go on that airplane, If you've never, how many have ridden an Airbus 330? You get on there and you sit down in a seat. You sit down just like this in a seat. Then you press a button and it just lays right down just like this. I mean, just like you're laying out in a coffin. I pulled that light over on me and began to read and rejoice and praise God. But there is a God in heaven that gave us first-class seats if we asked for them. But they fed me a chicken dinner. They fed me a good salad. And they fed me potatoes and corn. And then had a nice hot rolls with butter. And then here come the ice cream cart with a caramel sundaes and butter, Scotch candy and strawberry sundaes. I said, just give me the ice cream. Too many calories to get both of them. Just give me the ice cream. And then when I had that, I just pressed the button on that seat and right back I went, just like this. Just like down. Wake me up at 5 in the morning.
Yep.
And laid there for 5 hours.
Amen.
Now, you don't tell me that there's not a God in heaven.
Right.
God in heaven got me that first class seat, but I had to pay the price for it.
Amen.
I had to go to him and ask him. I wouldn't have got it if I hadn't asked him.
Yes, sir, I believe that.
And I have faith. If I took those two sandwiches with me, I wouldn't have got it either.
Right.
I got on that without anything except God.
Amen.
God and one make a majority.
Amen.
But there is a God in heaven.
Yes.
You know, God's looking for some men. He can use. What time we start? 6?
Don't worry about that. Whenever you get done, we're done.
You sure? I enjoy doing this. In fact, I'll pay you instead of you paying me. Let me do this. I love it. I love it. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven. Why should we settle? Now, I'm laying the case out. Answer me. Why should we settle unless God's best?
Right.
What do you want out of God? And if he gives it to you, what will you do in return for God?
Right. There it is, right there. Right.
What will you do for God? Honey, if you'll marry me, you heard that, won't you come home, Bill Bailey, won't you please come home? I don't know why I thought about that. You hear that song? How many are singing?
Yeah.
I'll do the cooking, honey. I'll pay the rent. Honey, I've done you wrong. Come on, Bill Bailey.
Yeah.
You make all kinds of promises. You make God promises, but you fulfill them. I told God, I said, I'll build churches, I'll build school, and I'll support missions. If you'll bless this little business, 4 men of mine. God gave me the second one, the third one, the fourth, and the fifth, sixth. I said, wait a minute, God said, that's enough. Ended up with 457 houses and apartments paid for in 1999, never had a bedroom to sleep in until I was 27 years old. I'm telling you, we serve a great God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we serve a God that's got more for us than what we're getting out of him. What do you want you don't have? Would you be willing to do what Solomon did? Would you be willing what I did to get that first class seat? That takes faith, buddy.
Yes.
The Delta Airlines says that you ain't going to ride first class. Ain't no way. But there's a God in heaven.
Amen.
I just believe that maybe God, somebody's supposed to have been there the night before that seat, and God, because he missed his flight or something.
Yeah. I wouldn't surprise.
That's God.
Yes.
So, if God did it for Solomon, he can do it for you and I. And so, why don't we have what we want then? Now, let me show you where God's looking for men. I want you to open your Bibles over to Exodus chapter 20. God is looking for some people, like I'm telling you. He wants to pour his blessing. He wants to make an example out of somebody. If God could take an old coal miner, I used to say this when he asked for it back in 39. If God could take an old coal miner from the hills of Kentucky and let him be the richest and the largest property owner in Ypsilanti, Michigan, 70,000 people, individual, bit largest, paid more taxes than anyone else, had more real estate than anyone else. Why? I asked for it. Then I told him what he'd get. I went to 30%, and then in 1970 I went to 50%. And let me tell you something you won't even believe, 1998 or 99. I said, God, you and I have been playing checkers long enough. I'm just going to prove you. I said, I'm going to give $1.50 this year for every dollar you let me make. You let me make $1, and I'm going to give you $1.50. Well, I got my income tax figured out, and only way I can do it, I've got to go back to the year before and see how much I made. So I suppose I'd made $1 million the year before. If I was going to make $1 million, I'd have to give $1.5 million for God's work. And so when I kept up with it the best I could in my head, but oh, God began to bless, and I put another $200,000 or $300,000 in income tax just to make sure that I had enough paid in. And when I got my income tax figured out, I didn't get it to April the 15th the following year. And I owed God, I'd made $300,000 more. I owed God $300,000, that's what it was, with what, how much money he let me make. And God seemed to say, Russ, what are you going to do about it? You're behind the eight ball now, aren't you? You owe me $300,000. I said, God, just give me a few more months. You just watch and see what happens. I began to God, every time I got a whole extra dollar, sold anything, I began giving it to God. A man came along and offered me $1,600,000 for 60 apartments. And I sold them, give every nick of it to God's work. A man will come around and offer me I had 302 apartments. Listen, when I built them, you've heard the story, Pastor. When I quit building apartments, here's what God did. I had $350,000 of the bank's money left over in this pocketbook right here. In other words, I didn't have any investment in those pockets, in no apartments. I built on the bank's money. And then Dr. Howells wanted to start Howells in Scotland. I gave $300 by the land down there where we've got started there, over in Baptist City there. And so now here it was. I was offered $8.6 million for those 302 apartments. And so I'll tell you the best way to give to a church is I went to the guy that offered me that. I put it in the sales agreement. If you got something appreciated, don't sell it and then give it to the church. Let the church sell it. Give it to the church, let them sell it. That's where you get robbed. You don't have to pay any income tax. So I just put in my sales agreement. It's this. I said, I have a right to sign my interest to these apartments over to a church or a charitable institution before closing. We went to closing, and so I went to Hammond, Indiana. Ray Bordway was in the officer that did the deacon, that did the signing for First Baptist Church. He represented. Yeah. So I signed those apartments over to First Baptist Church. They owned them about 30 seconds, just long enough for him to sign his name. And then they sold it to the man that had an $8.6 million check. Yeah. But it's made out to First Baptist. Now, I got to write $8.6 million write-off. I didn't have to pay the sales commission. I did not have to pay the attorney's fee or the other expenses of closing all that. That's several hundred thousand dollars. But Dr. Howells netted a check for $7,600,000.
Yeah,
they say he went through all the office and let, hey, you want to hold a check? And they wrote those girls $7 million. Now, let me tell you this. See, if I had sold those apartments, I'd have paid about $3 million of that in taxes.
Yeah.
Obama liked to lick his chops on that one.
Yeah.
I'd rather give it to Jesus. Now, I'm not an anti-government. I pay a lot of taxes. A lot of years I paid $600,000-$700,000 property tax and everything.
Right.
I'm not against that. But I tell you, if I have a choice to give it to Jesus or give it to Uncle Sam, I'm going to give it to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I love Jesus a lot more than I love your uncle. He died for me.
Amen.
And so... Now, I'm illustrating the fact here is, why settle for less than God? I told God what I would do. And if I had to sell those apartments today, I'd have to take a $5 million cut on them.
Right.
So I give God that year, $11 million is in my book. $11,200,000, that's over
$30,000
a day.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but that makes me believe in God.
Amen.
I believe that there's a God in heaven that wants to use and bless us. I also know that there's also some trials and temptations comes with it. You got to prove yourself to God. You got to prove if you was an army before that they would a pilot before they turn you loose one of those $100,000 jets. You got to prove to them you know how to fight. You got to convince someone. And before that, if God's going to pour His out His blessing like that, you got to convince Him. You got to have a track record of what you'll do. He don't make generals overnight. And so, I went to God and made Him some promises. Here I was behind. I told him what I'd do, and I was $300,000 behind. And so then ended up the year, I paid up in advance, and it was about $6 million. One time I was $15 million prepaid on my tithes. I said, now, God, what are you going to do? I turned around. I'm still preaching. We serve a wonderful God. I mean, you just don't realize what a great, you don't realize what a great family you got into.
Yes.
When you got in God's family, we're Christian.
Yes.
Now, Exodus chapter 28, Pastor, before you got me sidetracked there. Exodus 28. I want to show you where God is looking for some people that he can fill with the wisdom and he can use you and let you make money. You want to build this new church over here? Why don't you come to God? Why don't you start making God some promises, what you do? And so it might be some of you women could invent a new cake or a new kind of cookies or something other than like Debbie's or Debbie's cookies. That I think the Mormons, somebody owns that. I don't know where Debbie's, I've been told. But to give you the wisdom how to, and become famous, multi-millionaires, providing you give God some, you
yeah.
see. Now look here. Let me show you what God's looking for. Verse chapter 28, Exodus. This ought to make you believe in God. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Itamar, Aaron's son. And thou shalt make holy garments of for Aaron thy brother, and for the glory, and for beauty. Hey, let me have your attention here. The children of Israel didn't know how to make these uniforms, these priestly garments. They used to making bricks. Straw. They didn't have any goldsmith car. But hey, wait a minute. God took care of that. Look, verse 3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of what? Now, if God filled them with wisdom, don't you think he'd fill you and I with wisdom? Why don't we have it? Why do we work for what we've done? And it's so much more. It'll be amazing. I've got a message. I haven't preached it. I don't think yet. I will hate to see what all I left behind when I got to heaven. Think what we're leaving behind, what God wants to do. Look what he said to them. I have filled the Spirit of God with wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. God is looking for some people. He can fill them with wisdom. Like he did Daniel when he interpreted the king's dream. I'm not going to read. You ought to read the costly garments. Starting at 4, you can read that at home. Now, I'm just going to talk on the wisdom God given them. And it tells about all these precious garments, priestly, all the gold. Somebody had to intertwine gold into the silk and the silver. Now, look at chapter 31. Turn your Bible to 31. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, seeing I call by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in what? Do you and I have a right to ask God to fill us with that wisdom? Huh? And understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold. Oh, that's goldsmith. And in silver, that's silversmith. And in brass, that's perfect. And in cutting stone, there's your brick masons. To set them and the carving of timber. There's your carpenters. Didn't have them before. They're going to build a temple. See, God needed to fill some men with wisdom. And I'm telling you, the same wisdom that God gave to them is available to you and I. Why should we settle less than God's best? I just tell you this, with God as my helper, and as long as I can live in the will of God, I don't think there's a man in my town, with what I know, can outthink me. I think give me just a few weeks to study something, and I can come up with answers just like that Daniel did, because I'm going to depend upon my God to do it. I know that I can't do it. A coal miner, never had to run a hot dog stand, worked in the coal mines, and go and get saved when he's 28 years old, and just went to the Bible and put my hand on that as a young businessman, began to pray for God to give me the wisdom. Just look what God has done. God loves you as much as he loves me. Well, let me tell you one of the trials that God put me through. Saved out of the bars and everything went with it, and I'm not guilty of the devil of glory. I'll just stop at that. 28 years, I'll say this, 28 years, it was wine and women and song. The last 50 years, it's been Metrical, the same old gal, and Jesus all day long.
Huh? Amen. That's good.
Huh? And you imagine, I asked for wisdom, God gave it to me. I told him what to do for it. See? Just like he did this here. And you and I have the same rights to go to him. Why sit we here idle all day? Why are we in a fix we're in? We serve a great God. You see? Let me see what else we got here. I'll skip that page. God has given me wisdom. Wisdom. Why settle for less than God's best? It takes a surrendered life. Have you ever surrendered to God? Have you ever surrendered your life to God? God, you can have me a lock, stock, and barrel. Faithful all service. All known sin confessed. Lord must be number one in our life. May I remind you the great book, Nehemiah. How many knows that Nehemiah was a layman? He was a layman. The book of Nehemiah, he was a layman. And do you know he never received a call from God? He volunteered. Dr. John Ross said he never received a call to preach. He just volunteered, and God never stopped him. And so God is looking for some men that he can fill with the wisdom of God. Now let me just put the icing on the cake. This little piece of paper here, I've had it for about 40, 50 years. I found it March the 16th, I think. Like if I'm hearing you preach, I'll take notes. You see me, I'm taking notes. I'll take down the things that speaks to me, and then one of these days I'll pick it up. I've got bushels through the things. I just found this in a book this year. Well, you don't know where I found the book yesterday morning. I wrote down more. I've got it here somewhere. I found a $1,000 check. Guy gave me back in 2004. It's written in a book. It's in a book. He sent me a book. I never opened the book. I wonder how many thousands of dollars God's got in there that you and I never asked for, huh? Wow. Of course, he didn't go to the book. I found it. Okay, I found this. And it says this. Here's what wisdom do for you. In 1920, approximately, General Motors had its beginning. That was 51 years ago, which meant I must have got this in 1971. I've been a Christian 11 years, a little over 11 years. If you'd invested $1,000 in their stock today, your investment would have been worth $25,000. That's back in 71, or 250% gain plus dividends. In 51 years, that's quite growth, isn't it? Now, with God as my partner, if you had invested $1,000 in us in only 11 years, your $1,000 would have been worth approximately $53,000. That's more than what General Motors said. In 25 years, you see, in 20 years. Now, I've done some calculations. Let me tell you what would happen. In 1960, I was telling you about a while ago, I didn't finish the story. I told you what the temptation trial God put in there. 9 months after I got saved, yeah, that wine, women, song you got my phone, I forgot my point. I didn't finish up. Let me go back and get that. And so 9 months after I got saved, a builder broke me and put me $2,000 in debt. I had just gotten married, and I had a truck payment, a house payment, a car payment, and a wife payment. I was broke $2,000 in debt. You know what the old devil said to me? Russ, why don't you come on back and serve me? I'd be driving up by those bars. Say, you remember what happened there? You remember what happened that night? I don't forget. I don't remember. I don't do that. Why don't you come back and serve me? You had more fun with me. But I went home, and I'd think it all over, and I told the devil, I said, you go straight to hell where you belong. I'm going to follow Jesus. And here I am now here this about 50 years later, approximately. That's what would I have had if I had followed the devil.
Right.
See? Now back to this here. In 1960, if you'd invested $1,000 in me, I got started over in 1960 with $2,000. If you'd invested $1,000, you'd own 33% of my business. Today, you'd be worth $15 million. Call Bill Gates and see if he can match that, would you? Huh? $15 million. Why? Because I just realized there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven who loved me enough to let his son die for my sins. There's a God in heaven, just like Solomon realized, I'm not going to settle for nothing but God's best. What are you going to do? Are you satisfied? Would you like to make more? Would you like to help build a church? Huh? Would you like for God to use you? It's going to start with the will. You can't do it with the mind. I've got a sermon. I almost brought it tonight. What God has for you, and I'll bring this is the title. you not get what God got for you with the mind that you was born with.
Yeah.
Boy, think that statement, that's deep.
Yeah.
What do you want out of God? And then if he gives it to you, what will you do with it? It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for Solomon, he'd do for you and I.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Our Father, I've done my best tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I prayed this evening. I prayed, dear God, that you would speak through me. These people don't need to hear from me, hear about Russell Anderson, but God, they need to hear what a great God you are. And God, I want to challenge them tonight to put you to the test. Just what would they like? What faith do they have to ask you and like for the impossible? God, you did it for Solomon. You can do it for us. You did it for us. Now, with their heads bowed now, and how many looked around and say, Brother Anderson, it just makes sense to me. I realize what one thing I need in my life, I need the wisdom of God upon my life, and I want God to give me the wisdom that you spoke about tonight that he gave to Solomon. If so, would you raise your hand? I want that wisdom. God, I'm tired of doing without the best that you have for me. All right, see the hands. Is anybody, yes, you may put the hand. Is anybody come here tonight and say, Brother, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not even sure if I died tonight to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. But here's my hand. Pray for me. I will if you lift it. Is there someone? Maybe someone in here that's saved, but you haven't been baptized. You ashamed of Jesus? Maybe you're not tithing. It would not be a good time to get to victory. God's not, if God lets you make a lot of money, you go out and buy a bigger boat. If you're not tithing, he can't trust you. Now, we're heads bowed now. We know we're going to start the invitation now. I'm going to have them start playing the piano. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Now, what would you want for God, and what would you like? Would you like God to? Right here's the altar. Why don't you come and ask him? And if you're not going to ask him for it, if you don't think enough of God to leave and see, the old devil is going to tell you, sir, if you don't have enough to come down, fortitude to come down here and ask God, don't ask him to do it. What would you want from God? What do you want from God? Does God love Solomon more than he loves you and I? No, he doesn't. Solomon got it because he asked for it. Are you going to ask for it? We serve a great God. Pastor, I'm going to let you have it.
You just come right now. When God speaks to your heart, you just come and pray. What do you want from God? Solomon got what he wanted from God. By the way, God gives it to you. What will you do? He gave Dr. Anderson millions of dollars, and Dr. Anderson gave it back for the cause of Christ. Over $37 million he's put back into the ministry. I think that's why God gave him those millions, because he knew he could trust him. I wonder if God could trust us. I thought of something, Doc. You gave me a thought right at the end. You said you found a check. It's no good now. I said that after 90 days, I think 6 days, that check won't, you can't cash it, but yeah, 7 years. He lost, I wonder how many checks we could have get from God that we'd never cash because we didn't get in the book. We didn't get in this book. How many things have I missed because I wasn't in this book? Think about it. I wonder how many uncashed checks that God wanted to give us that we've lost out on because we failed to open and search the book.